Yep. Kulan Rablak Gemara, we are up to Daf Mem Hei Amid Aleph by the Mishnah. We're talking about dough. Previously we were talking about dough stuck into a kneading board or vessel. Now the Mishnah continues. Batzek, a piece of dough. We did that already, sorry. We're up to Daf Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Mem Vav. Batzek. What happens? You have a piece of dough. Hachedesh. Chedesh has a number of interpretations. Rashi brings two, the Rambam has another one. But basically, Rashi says it's like somebody who's deaf. He has all the features of somebody who can hear, but you cannot tell that this person cannot actually hear a word you're saying. So you have dough that you cannot really tell if it became chametz or not. It's a little bit different than ordinary dough. It doesn't have yet the cracks and the fissures that we spoke about, the karnei chagavim, which we'll learn about later as well. And you cannot tell. Or Rashi is another pshat, chedesh is like a piece of clay. And it's tough like clay, but you cannot tell if it became chametz or not. So, im yesh ki yoytzeboy, if there's a similar piece of chametz that you needed at the same time, and shehech means that piece of chametz is clear, and it turned into chametz, and you prepared both pieces of dough at the same time, then hareza also, you can assume that this piece of dough is also forbidden. Okay, otherwise it's permitted. Says the Gemara, what about Ima Inshom Kiyetze by Mao? You don't have something similar, what do you do then? I'm going to Mishim and Lakish. Then we give it, how much time? This is what we learn out the concept that if dough is left alone for a certain amount of time, it ferments. How much time is it? Kedeshiyelech Adam, the time it takes for a person to walk, Memigel Nunya Litveria. And how long is that meal? The time it takes to walk 2,000 Amos. And roughly about a kilometer. The name of meal. So why don't you just say a meal? What are you telling us from one place to another? How come Asher wants to tell you the shiut of the meal? Kimigdal munya tvei. You want to know what's the distance of a meal? It's the distance that it takes to go. It's the distance from Migdal Munya to the city of Tveria. Now there's a machlekes if that's 18 minutes or 24 minutes. And in Shulchan as well, it's not so clear, so we're machmir in different places. So by Pesach, we're machmir down to 18 minutes according to the most poskim. Amr Bu, Amr Abshim Lakish. Where else do you have this concept of a meal? Legabel. When it comes to kneading, let's say if you're a person that's hired out to knead other people's dough, you get paid for it, and the vessels at the Balabas's house that you're going to be using are all tummy. So you should walk up to 4 kilometers to table those vessels in the mikveh. And litfilah, if you're going to daven, if you're traveling, and you want to stay somewhere in a motel, and daven, if there is a place to daven, within 4 kilometers, you should stay there so that you can daven. Rashi actually says, im yesh beis haknesses. Doesn't say im yesh minyan. So someone in the Deus Rashi holds that even if there's no minyan, if there's a shul, you should daven in the shul. Others say, well, not just the business, he meant, and there's a minion there. Well, the tilus a dive, and the same thing applies to washing your hands. Washing hands occur for davening, and according to the Oruch, and others say, what do you call it? Or just washing your hands for eating. Says the Gemara, what do you call it? Says the Gemara, Arba, actually others say tefillah means washing your hands for davening. Abba milin is all 4 meals. Amr Abnachem, Abba said, but he actually, the original one said it, Abba, and he actually added another one as well. Amr Abba, he said there were 4 cases, he did a meal, 4 meals, B'chad B'nayu, and the other one is Ibud. The Ibud, which is tanning leather. Now, what do you mean? It's not within the mission of Kulan Shibdan. If you worked out and you tried to tan a leather, oi shehilach behen kedavoida, or you stepped on it as long as it normally takes to tan, then tahirin, it loses its original state and it becomes tight. It's no longer considered flesh. Let's say it was a piece of meat, whatever. As long as it's in flesh, and you stepped on it, whatever, as long as we normally take a tan hides, then it loses the status of meat. Chutz ma'oira adam, the skin of a person, it doesn't lose the status. How long is that? The time it takes to walk 4 milin, which would be either 72 minutes, or 4 milin is 4 times 24 minutes. There's actually in Leveikus HaReichel, which is the Bas Yosef, and he talks about when we say 4 milim, let's say you're riding a horse, does it mean you have to travel an extra 72 minutes, even though it's by horse, which goes a lot quicker than a person? Or it means the distance of 4 mil rather than the time. And it goes further. You know, with all this modern technology, you can go by a plane. In 72 minutes, you can go to another city. So are you mechuyev to go to another city? 72 minutes worth of traveling? Or is it, what do you call it, 4 mil, and regardless of what kind of, if you have a car or whatever you have, you don't have to travel more than 4 mil to go to a shul or to wash your hands or all these other things. If it's continuing on your way that you're traveling anyway, but if you're going backwards, in other words, if the only way to get to the shul, let's say, is to go back step, you know, backtrace your steps, then I feel a meal in a chayzer. You don't have to return even for a meal. It's less than a meal, and even though you go retracing your steps, you have to go back to the shul. But more than a meal or more, you don't have to go back, you only go forward. Okay, just 1 second. Mishnah continues, next Mishnah. Now, when you need a certain quantity of dough, you know, 3 1/5 eggs, you have to give challah to the kohen. That's why, in fact, a Shabbos would call out a thing, challah, to remind us you have to give challah. You have to give challah to the kohen. Now, you can bake the challah and then break a piece off and give it to the kohen. If you have a number of challahs, you can give one challah on behalf of all the challahs, because the oven combines them all. You place them in the basket, it combines them all. So therefore, it's like one big challah, and you give one challah away to the kohen. Now, the problem is, you have over here dough that became tamei. The problem, when the dough became tamei, and on Yom Tov, what are you going to do? A normal Yom Tov, what you would do is, you'd wait, because you're not allowed to cook it, bake it on Yom Tov. Since it's tamei, you cannot eat it. So if you cannot eat it, how can you go ahead and break it? But so therefore, what you do is, you wait until Yom Tov, and no problem. Pesach is a problem. You cannot just let the dough lie around. We just said 18 minutes go by or 24 minutes go by and you do nothing with it, it turns into chametz. So you have tamidik dough on Pesach. What do you do with it? And you have to separate some challah to give to the kohen. Now the rest of the matzah, you can eat it even though it's tamid, but the one that you can give to the kohen, what do you do with that piece? So you cannot bake it because since it cannot be eaten, you cannot leave it because it'll turn into chametz. You cannot burn it straight away because you're not allowed, we learned already in Mar Shabbos, that you're not allowed to burn kachem on Yom Tov. There's an asay and a loisase, and ain asay doicha asay b'loisase, like Ravashi said over there. And so you cannot feed it to your dog either because you're burning. So what do you do? You have three opinions. Keitzad mafrishin challah betum b'yom tov. How do you go ahead and set aside challah that became tamei on Yom Tov of Pesach? Rabbi Eliezer advises lo tikros l'shem. Don't call anything challah. Acha tefer. Go ahead and bake it. And every single challah matzah that you're making over there will say, "Well, I plan to eat this on Pesach." So you're allowed to bake it on Pesach. And in each particular matzah, a little piece of it has to be given to the kohen. So the bulk of that matzah you can eat. So therefore, you're allowed to bake it in the oven. But after you finish baking it, take one matzah, and you have in mind all the rest. And that's good enough because all the matzahs are combined in the basket, the salah is matzah of them, and therefore it's considered like one big matzah, and therefore you can give one away to the kohen. So Rabbi Eliezer says, don't give your name. Instead it says, hitil tatul b'tzayin, and just take all the dough and put it in cold water, and by putting cold water, it won't turn into chametz. And Rabbi Eliezer doesn't like that. What happens if you don't do it properly? And we'll soon see why Ben Seder doesn't like Rabbi Eliezer's recommendation about not calling it a name. But Rabbi Shua says, in my opinion, number three, loy zehu chametz shemizohren ala bayro bayim matzeh. He says, I believe that challah is not yours. And because challah is not yours, we learned before, shulcha I atarayu, your chametz you cannot see, aval atarayu shalachayim, but you can see the Eibush is chametz. So therefore, challah doesn't belong to you, belongs to somebody else. And doesn't belong to a coin either, because you haven't given it to any particular coin. So therefore, you're allowed to have it in your house. Ellis, what should you do? Mafrish to set it aside, umanichta, and leave it there. Don't bake it, take aside dough while it's still in the state of dough, put it aside. And add that, wait till Mitzvah Yom Tov. And im hechmitze, if it became chametz, so be it, so what? Who's over? Nobody's over on this. It says in Gemara, So what's the machleik? See, the Beshiva holds that the challah is not yours, so therefore it's not a problem of chametz. And the blood of the challah is yours, and therefore it is a problem of chametz. What are they arguing? So we have a concept called toivus hanor. Toivus hanor means you don't really own the item itself, but I have a certain propriety over it. What are you throw? When it comes to, let's say, truma and maisa, he doesn't own it. It belongs to the kohen or the levi. But he does have a certain sense of ownership that he can decide which kohen to give it to, which levi to give it to. So if he goes to a person, he says, look, I'm going to give you a dollar, but I want you to do me a favor. All the truma that you have, give it to my grandson, my daughter's son. I want you to give him all the truma. And so therefore, the person is allowed to take the dollar and give it to that kohen. So he has some ownership. Yisrael has some ownership, propriety over the truma, that he can get the toivah, the benefit of the pleasure of determining who he's going to give it to. And the question is that considered that money or not? Is that considered that I have some ownership of the etzim truma that I'm about to give away? Or it means no, the truma itself have zero ownership. It's just external to that. I have the right to give it. So for that, you're paying me a few dollars. So how do we view that? And that's going to be the argument here regarding challah, if you're allowed to keep it in your house. Because maybe the challah itself doesn't belong to me, but since I have teva sano, I can give it whichever kohen I want, that does belong to me, so I'll be able to buy your rabbi matzah for that. That's the argument. Lame will let us say, but teva sano to me, they're arguing about this very point, which there's an argument in the Gemara, and we'll see in Kedushin in other places. Rabbi Lezer saw about teva sano moment. That is worth money. And Rabbi Shua, and therefore, you're able to buy your rabbi matzah because you have some ownership here is. And therefore, he says, first bake it. That's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. He says, first bake it, so therefore it cannot turn into chametz. And Rabbi Shua holds no. Toivah sana is not money, and therefore it doesn't belong to you, and it's not yisur by Rabbi Matzah. And he's not storing it on behalf of any particular coin, because there's no coin who owns it yet. So he says, no proof from here. I can argue, Kuli Amos, everyone holds Toivah sana, ain't a moment. So what's the argument here? The hoch over here, the hoyel can be free. They're arguing the concept called hoyel. Since I have the right, since I can do something, do we view it as if that potential already took place? For example, whenever you give truma and mice and so on, you can always change your mind. Go to Rabbanim and say, look, I made a promise. Anything you did verbal, you can unravel. So I made a promise. I don't want this to be truma anymore. I don't want this to be chal anymore. Since it's called hoyel iboy mitchell, since you can go ahead and you can go and unravel the promise you made, and therefore it's no longer chala, it becomes back to normal. And then who would own it? The Yisrael. Therefore, it's considered his even right now, even though you didn't do anything. And you're over on it. So Rabbi Lezer, holds, Amrin and hoyel, be by ichul Allah's memoinu, if it's considered money. Since he can take this challah and say, no, I don't want it to be challah anymore, it reverts back to its original state, which I was the owner, I'll be over by Rabbi Matzah, therefore you're not allowed to do that. And you'll be over by Rabbi Matzah, so therefore he said, bake it on Yom Tov. Don't call it challah, just bake it. There is some challah mixed in over there, but the bulk of every piece of matzah there, only a small little piece will be challah, and therefore you're allowed to bake each piece. And furthermore, you can say in each piece, this is not the one that's going to be the challah. The next one will be the challah. And now, l'chayda, so why can't you just go ahead and bake the matzah the way it is? Why don't you set aside the challah, bake the matzah, and use the concept of hoyel? And say, since the piece that was challah, I can also bake, because hoyel, since I can remove that challah, so therefore it's not really challah, so I can bake it. Since we don't want to rely on hoyel if you don't have to. And that's what Rashi explains. Says the Gemara further, Rabbi Shua holds, we don't say hoyel, and therefore Rabbi Shua holds, since there's no problem of hoyel, there's no hoyel, if you set it aside as challah, you will no longer be over by Rabbi Matzah. We don't say hoyel, since you could have undone it, but right now you didn't undo it, so you're not over on the chametz. But if you're going to bake it, I'd rather you shouldn't bake it, because there is one of these that you cannot eat, and therefore you shouldn't be baking it on Yom Tov. So as a result of that, the Gemara is bringing in a very interesting concept, which we also have a little bit in Gemara Beya. In the Shainim in Beya, trying to reconcile the two Gemaras, but we're focusing on Gemara here. And this leads to the concept of Erev Tavshilin, which is that if Yom Tov falls out on Thursday and Friday, and how can you cook or bake from Friday to Shabbos? So So therefore, we make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday that enables us to cook from Friday to Shabbos. So now we're going to try and understand the logic. Why is it that we're allowed to cook from Friday to Shabbos with an Erev? And we're going to have an argument of Rabbah and Rab Chizda, where basically, it sounds like they're both saying the same thing for different reasons. Rabbah says that you are permitted from the Torah's perspective to cook from Friday to Shabbos. Why? Even if it's an hour before Shabbos, because we have a concept called Hoyel. Since if guests would come right now, the food would be for them, so you're cooking on Yom Tov for the sake of Yom Tov. Hoyel. The Rabbanon don't want you to cook from Friday to Shabbos, because next time you'll cook from Friday, from Yom Tov to Mitzvah Yom Tov. And therefore, the Rabbanon said, I don't want you. But by making Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, it's a reminder to you of the Issur of Rabbanon. Don't cook from Yom Tov to weekday. It's only because it's Yom Tov to Shabbos, and that's what the Erev does. Rab Chizda says, I don't believe in the whole concept of Hoyel, but I do say that Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim LeYom Tov. I hold that you're allowed to do, since Shabbos and Yom Tov are both called Shabbos, they're both holy, you are permitted to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And the Rabbanon don't want you, because next time you cook from Yom Tov to the weekday. So therefore, we have Erev Tavshilin. The difference between the two is if you can go ahead and cook 10 minutes before Shabbos. If the reason is, like Rab Chizda, you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, no problem. But if the reason for Rabbah, because guests can come. If guests cannot come, there's not enough time for it to be ready for guests to eat, then you cannot rely. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch we say that if when we make an Erev Tavshilin and we cook on Friday, it says in Shulchan Aruch clearly that on Friday you should daven Shachris earlier or daven a lot quicker. The rabbi should make any drushes so that people have time to go home and cook their Shabbos meal. It has to be 100% ready. And in times, if guests will come, they will be able to eat it before Shabbos begins. Then there's a whole machlekes by lighting candles from Friday to Shabbos. Why light candles from Friday to Shabbos? It'll be a big enough community of Chizda and Rabbah. According to Rab Chizda, you can light 5 minutes before Shabbos. It's not a problem because you're allowed to take care of the needs of Shabbos on Yom Tov. But according to Rabbah, who says Hoyo, then you have to light it when you can have benefit from the light. The problem is, it's not Shabbos yet. And what benefit do you have? It's daytime, it's light. So it has to be done at a time that is close enough to Shabbos, it's a little bit dark, so you can have a hanoah from the light. And the Erev Tavshilin, comes to permit it. In fact, there's a machlek is whether by Erev Tavshilin we say that this permits us to bake, cook, and to light candles, which we do. And Tesis Abed of Yechesim Rav talks about that. But there's a whole discussion in the modern poskim that if the reason is we follow Rabbah because it benefits us, it's a little bit dark, and we can benefit from the light. Not like a Chizda because you're allowed to do things for Shabbos on Yom Tov. So today, if you have electricity on, which we do, then we have no benefit from the lights at all being burnt, lit. What right do we have to light candles? There's no hoyel anymore. Hoyel chazil le'erchem. What hoyel is there? And big problem. Anyway, let's continue the Gemara. Itma, we learned. So we're going to have this discussion, and eventually we'll go back to our Mishnah about the Machlekes, or Balad Yeshua, about Hoyel, when there's Amoraim who argue the same concept. Itma, we learned. If you cook, bake from Yom Tov to the weekday, Rav Chizda Omar, Rav Chizda says, Rav Chizda says, you get Malkus. If you're baking from Yom Tov to the weekday, Rav Chizda says you get malchus, you're not allowed to. And Rabbi says, Mahatoy, there's no avera because of hoyel. Ain't you like to get malchus? The Gemara explains. Rav Chizda, Amar, like Chizda says you get malchus, loy amrinan, we don't say hoyel. Mikli le'orichim chazal, we don't say since guests can come, you're suitable, so therefore you had no right to bake or cook from Yom Tov to the weekday, and you did, you're chayiv mehatoyra. And Rabbi says, Ain't you like it? Rabbi says you don't get malchus. Why? Amrinan, we say hoyel. You say hoyel since guests would have come, even though they haven't come, it would have been a right. So matay is no problem. It's only also midirabbanim. Case in other place, not here. Asks, we have a machleket hil and shamay. If you say betoich shehutra letzayde hutnam lezer, regarding those malachas you're permitted to do on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry, let's say, food. Are we also allowed to carry a siddur to daven? So we say once you need letzayde for food, you're allowed to also do other things as well. So why do you need the concept of hoyel? Just say metoich. Everything's permitted on Yom Tov. Because metoich, not because of hoyel. So Tosis and Ksuvus and other places says, Rav Zayin there, Tosis says that hoyel only works, metoich only works if it's still necessary for Yom Tov. It doesn't have to be oichel nefesh, but let's say carrying a siddur to shul on Yom Tov or a talis on Yom Tov, it's the tzoydich. I still need it, the tzoydich tzas. So there, and here we're saying, your baking or cooking for Matzah Yom Tov. So I have no need for it for Yom Tov at all. Matzah is not going to help you over here. You can't say, since I can use it, I can do it for Yom Tov, I can do it for other time, because Matzah has to be beneficial for Yom Tov. And this isn't at all. And so therefore, we need to employ the concept, or use the concept of Hoyil, to allow me to bake from, not allow, at least from the Torah's perspective, you're not able if you bake from Yom Tov to the weekday. But Rashi holds that you don't need the Tzoylech Tzas. You don't need to be the Tzoylech, you know, for a mitzvah or something else. But it would seem that Rashi also holds you need some benefit from Yom Tov, even if it's not for a mitzvah, but you need something for Yom Tov, even though you can get away without it. Here, if you're baking from Yom Tov to a weekday, you have nothing from it from Yom Tov. So even Rashi would agree that Matoich wouldn't work here, and you need the concept of Hoyo. Now the Gemara continues. According to you, you don't believe in Hoyo. You say, let me Hoyo. Let me ask a question. Hey, what right do you have to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos? What's the difference? You bake me Yom Tov to a weekday, Yom Tov to Shabbos. If there's no Hoyo, I don't believe that the fact that the guests can come. So you're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next. Amalei, so Rabbi Chizda said, Mishum Eidah Tavshilin. It's exactly why we make it, Eidah Tavshilin. Said Rabbi to him, Mishum Eidah Tavshilin, Sharin Yisrael Raisa, because Eidah Tavshilin, you want to enable, allow an Easter in the Torah, that the Torah says you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to another day, and you, because of Eidah Tavshilin, we can. Amalei, he said, no. Midaraisi taki, in the Torah, you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to the weekday. But Tzorchei Shabbos, Nasim Yom Tov. But the needs of Shabbos, you're allowed to take care of Yom Tov, because Yom Tov and Shabbos are considered one Kedusha, because they're both called Shabbos. We say Mizmer Shir L'Yom Shabbos on Shabbos as well. Since you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos as well. Navas, Rabbanu the Gozabeg, Rabbanu will worry, Shema Yemru, you might say, Oifin Mi Yom Tov Af L'Chol. The Rabbanu will say, if you're going to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, next time you'll bake from Yom Tov to the weekday. And that's a problem. So Rabbanu came in and interdicted cooking Yom Tov to the weekday. The kivin that is the Shabbos. The kivin that's chur Rabbanu with the shilin by making us prepare an edit of shilin is lay hekeda. You have a reminder that tells you don't do it. Okay, so that's how Rav Chizda deals with it. And Rabba learns the same thing. I'll tell you, you're allowed to cook from Friday to Shabbos because Hoyo, but the Rabbanu don't want you to cook it because you're going to next time cook to the weekday where there's no reason for it. Or it's going to take away, the Gemara Beya talks about, it takes away the simcha of Yom Tov because you're going to be standing there and cooking in the kitchen. We want you to enjoy the festivities. And then Eitha Shilin, therefore, means that you're continuing what you started before Yom Tov. Eitha, I'll ask you another question. Tesis asked you, by the way, a very interesting question. If we believe in this concept, the very last line of the page, that's a very interesting question. If you believe in the concept of Hoyol, then there should be no Aveira in the Torah of doing any Malach on Shabbos. Because every Malach on Shabbos, you can say, Hoyol, since if the guy there would have been sick and dying, you permitted to do this Malach for him or for yourself, therefore I can do it, Ma'at Torah. So I mean, Rabbanu, that's forbidden. You go ahead with Hoyol. Take it to the nth degree. And Tosha says, we only use Hoyol in a common way. It's common for guests to come to your house, so therefore we have a right to say Hoyol, since if guests will come right now impromptu, you always have to have a little bit extra food. But to say that Hoyol will be a Hoyolu Sheyesh by Sakona, that we cannot say. So what about now with the coronavirus around? Maybe you could say Hoyol on Shabbos, according to following Tosha's logic, in those countries where it's a problem. Says Igmar further, Israel asks you a question. So Rabbi, we're having a discussion. Behema Mesakendas, you have a behema that is in danger of dying any minute, and it's Yom Tov, and once it's dead, the animal's in a veil, a carcass, you cannot eat it. So you want to salvage the behema before it dies, and you want to shecht it on Yom Tov. Lo Yishcha, you should not shecht it on Yom Tov, but you have no need for it, really. You had a holy meal and everything prepared. So don't shecht it. Elekadesh Yochel Echel Himena Kazai Sibo Yom. Only if you're able to shecht and eat at least a kazayis of grilled food that day, only then are you permitted to shecht it. Otherwise, you have no right to go ahead and do a malacha on Yom Tov. Now, the question is, Yochel Lechel, it says here, as long as you have enough time to be able to eat. Sounds like you don't have to physically eat anything, it just means you have to be able to eat. So in other words, we're using the concept of Hoyol. To Laboy Lamechel, it'll be Shleimidi, says Rabbi, according to me, Dominic, Hoyol, we believe in the concept that since you can do, it's good enough. Hoyol, Yibon Lamechel, Matzi Ochel, because you could eat, it's good enough. Shemachi Chedifa Yikashach. You don't say eat in potential. Amma Yishcha, why does it say you can shech? Because you can eat, it's not good enough. You're about to incur a loss, and therefore we allow you to shecht. So Rabbi says, what do you mean? That I said, says, you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov unless you can eat it. So you're saying because you're going to have a loss, we're going to allow him to? He says, yes, Ian, you misunderstood. Because he's about to incur a big loss, and he knows that the only way to save this animal is by shechting it. And he knows the only way you can shecht it is if you plan to actually eat something, even though it's pretty full. It's not just a potential, but that he will eat a kazayis. He'll force himself to eat a kazayis of meat. He only needs is one kazayis. An animal might be 100 kazayisim or 200 kazayisim. But since we eat efshele kazayis basul l'shchita, it doesn't matter if you want the entire animal, only one kazayis. The only way to eat it is by shechting it. So therefore, we allow him to shecht. Hey, so that's another question. Lechem haponim, the showbread that they prepared every Friday, and they put it in the Mishkan, and then the following Shabbat miraculously stayed fresh, and they were distributed to the kayanim, the group that left, and the group was coming in. Excuse me. So sometimes nechol letisha, sometimes it was eaten on the ninth day of its preparation, sometimes la'asara on the tenth day of its preparation, and sometimes la'achad also the 11th day. Lo pachol yosa, that's the minimum, that's the maximum. It explains each one. Ketzad kedarka, in the normal way, letisha, it's the ninth day. How nefes be'er Shabbos, you prepare it on Friday. And you organize it on Friday, and then the following Shabbos, which is the ninth day, you remove it. Is Nechel b'Shabbos Letisha. So the following Shabbos, when you eat it and you take it away, it's the ninth day. What happens if Chol Yom Tov leave a Shabbos? So Yom Tov falls on a Friday, and you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're not allowed to bake something since you're not going to eat it on Friday itself, so you cannot bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So therefore, when did they bake it? On Thursday. Nechel l'Shabbos l'Asara. So the Shabbos, the following Shabbos, that's 10 days. Shnei yomim tevin shel Rosh Hashanah. Even times of Beis Hamikdash, the only Yom Tov they observed, and in Israel, 2 days was Rosh Hashanah. If the witnesses come after Mincha and they didn't know, and they might have prepared the wrong Musaf, so anyway, so they treat it as Rosh Hashanah, but they use the normal weekday thing. But they treat it as Yom Tov. And if the Eidim came before Mincha, the rest of the day Rosh Hashanah. If the Eidim came after Mincha, they would treat this day Rosh Hashanah plus the following day Rosh Hashanah. They didn't want people to treat the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the wrong way, because you'll miss out. So therefore, they treat both days as Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi explains that if the Eidim come before Mincha, then the first day was really Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur is 10 days from that. If the Eidim come after Mincha, even though halachically they treated the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but really, when was Rosh Hashanah? The second day. And therefore, you count Yom Kippur from the second day. So, if you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you cannot prepare Thursday or Friday in Nechel, so when you prepare on Wednesday. And Nechel Shabbos, they eat the following Shabbos. Either question will be the following Shabbos is Yom Kippur. So Rashi explains, he's talking about a case where the Eidim come after Mincha. If the Eidim come after Mincha, so then you count Yom Kippur from, start counting from Friday. So Yom Kippur is on a Sunday. So Shabbos is not a problem. Or Teza says, even if the Eidim come before Mincha. But if the Eidim come before Mincha, then Friday, the next day, is no longer Rosh Hashanah, because we know for a fact that today was Rosh Hashanah. So then what actually baked it, what they prepared on Wednesday, they would undo, because it did not become holy, there's no lina. And then on Friday, they'll bake again fresh, and there's no issue. Okay, so then it'll be Lachados 11 days. Which ain't Lechel Shabbos, because it doesn't push away Shabbos, Lezi Yom Tov. Now, says Rabbi Rav Chisda v'Yamr, if you're going to argue, Tzarche Shabbos Nasa v'Yom Tov, you're allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Ma Toyre, it's only the Rabbanah that allow you, because next day you prepare to the weekday. But we learned already the ending more Erevin, that in the Beis HaMikdash, they did not have Isurim of the Rabbanah, because the Kohanim knew exactly what they were doing. They would make mistakes. Why couldn't they, on Yom Tov Friday, even though it's Yom Tov, why not prepare and bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Amali, he said, Shvus Kreve Hitilu, they allowed from Yom Tov to Shabbos if they're contiguous to each other. So we say it's one long day, and you're allowed to bake and cook from Friday to Shabbos. But here you're preparing from the first Friday for the following Shabbos, 9 days later. Shvus Rechayke Lehitilu, they did not allow today to prepare for the following Shabbos, 9 days later. Or Shimon has gone doiches Yom Tov, that it pushes away Yom Tov, ain't a doiches Yom Tov. Miho, that actually you're able to bake and cook on Yom Tov, and so that means he holds that even a shvus rechayka. That means he holds in the lechem upon him you can prepare on Friday if it's Yom Tov, unless it's Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur you cannot eat, but on Yom Tov proper you could. So and yet he says you're allowed to prepare it. What do you call it? For the following week, 10 days apart. And to say that the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing about this very point is difficult to understand. So it seems to me that you can't do a Shvus Rechayka. You can't prepare from Yom Tov to a Shabbos that's a week away. And So he says, hey, what's the problem? Yeah. So see, So we say, no, Bahar Pligi, that's exactly what the argument is. Mar Sova Shuskrevi Hitido Shuskrevi Tanakam holds. When do we allow you to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Only if it's contiguous to each other, it's like one long day. But the following Shabbos is not permitted. So even though Rab Chizda says, Tzorche Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov, you allow to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but not if it's a week later. Well, Mar Sova, but Shimon Lil holds, I don't care if it's the following day or a week later, you're allowed to cook to Shuskrevi Nami Hitido, they also permitted. Okay, that concludes today's Gemara. We're still in the middle of the Sugya of Hayil, which will continue for another blot to sell.